podcast. We had a 30-year birthday, and what we're going to talk about today, he talked about the continuous program of recovery. You can't let up, right? Have to do it every day. And before we start, I'm just going to say the set-aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others, the big book, anything I think I know, let me get rid of all my old ideas so I can see your truth. Help me carry the message today. Thank you. Amen. Okay, we are on, we're going to read a powerful paragraph on page 85 and two paragraphs actually. And I'm going to review and just read the paragraph that we studied last week. We're on step 10. We covered, we talked about the world of the spirit and how we enter it on one podcast. Then the next week I talked about how we stay in the world of the spirit during the day. What do? We watch, ask, discuss, amend, and turn. That's the paragraph 184 that tells us how to live in, what, 8 or 9 lines. Last week I covered the recovered promises, the promises that we get when we're in the world of the Spirit with God. We don't have these promises if we're not with God. And then today we're going to read the warning label on the big book and what's required each day that we must carry in our affairs. So you see how they do the 10th step. Very succinct, but very powerful. And the recovered promises start on 84, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. I went through all this. I'm not going to go in great detail. By this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. Anybody relate to that? We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. Someone was talking, I think Wednesday night, about wanting to drink and then thinking about it and then deciding to call someone and that it was a bad idea. And that's because they had worked on the steps and they had God in their life. And these things happen automatically. These are gifts. The 10th step promises are not something we earn, we get. And we get by action. And we get by doing the action we receive. No action, you don't receive anything. Get the hint? So people say, my life hasn't changed. Nothing's better. Well, no action, you don't receive anything. And the actions that really work are the ones, at least for me, that are outlined in the book, and they're not that complicated. And Wednesday night, we're on step 4, looking at the resentment instructions. And I hope you can come Wednesday night, because we're going to see how you can be free of anger. Anybody want that? It's two paragraphs in the big book. I guarantee if you follow them, you'll be free of anger. And it says these happen automatically. We have a new attitude towards liquor, and it has been given us. Notice the words. Happened automatically. Given to us. Seldom interested. If tempted, recoil. It just comes. Just like the promises we read in the 9th step, these things just happen. The spiritual gifts materialize. They just happen. And we don't like finish reading a page and then we say, wow, we have knowledge. These things happen from God. It says, I feel as though I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Isn't that great? So if you're at this point, you can go anywhere. Alcohol has no power over you. You don't have to worry about going on a cruise ship where they're serving booze. You don't have to worry about going to the July 4th picnic. You're safe and protected. You're with God. It's not even sworn off, because swearing off didn't work, did it? Ed, you took Solomos, didn't you, buddy? Oh, yeah. Solomos are good for alcoholics. In fact, I believe all of us could take a Solomos and pass a lie detector test. Absolutely without any problem, and then drink an hour later. Instead, the problem has been removed. Notice the word removed. And the problem, it says lack of power was our problem. And the problem, lack of power was our dilemma. And the power will solve the problem. And the problem is that we are not safe and protected without God. And once we're with God, we're sane and we're protected. It does not exist for us. I'm not cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. So this is their testimony. This book is a testament. I don't know if it's old, new. It's a newer testament. We'll call this the newer testament of how people found a relationship with their Creator. And you can't argue with their experience. Now, I guarantee if you do what's in this book up to page 84, this will happen to you. It's a guarantee. It's because that's why these are promises. And so if you don't have these, do the work. Get somebody to go through the book and do it. We have all of this recorded. The whole book's recorded. I can sponsor any of you just by listening to me go through the big book with you. Then find somebody to go over it with you. And here's the key line. This is how we react. That's the key word. So long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. It's the way I reacted that killed me. And I reacted because of my thinking. And if God's directing my life, I react differently. And if I'm in fit spiritual condition, fit spiritual condition means God and I are in conscious contact. And if I'm in conscious contact with God, I will react a certain way. And if I'm not, I react the other way. And I could be in fit spiritual condition at 10 and unfit at 11. But what we learned on page 84 in that first paragraph is how I get back in fit spiritual condition right away during the day. So at 10 o'clock, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, by 10:05, if I do what's in the book, I can be there. Now, if I wait till 10:30, it might be too late. And so I need to be in fit spiritual condition, and then I react differently. And it's the way I reacted, my actions, that caused problems, but my thinking was the cause of my reacting. And if my thinking's self-centered, then my reacting's going to be that way. And the one thing I'm really trying to do, and I don't do it well, but I'm getting better because I'm working on it with God, I ask Him every morning, is I want to bring love into every situation. And love and tolerance in every situation, and then I'll get it back. And if I bring Michael, sometimes I get Michael back. And sometimes it's not pretty. You know, if you're angry and irritable and you're talking to somebody, you notice they get angry and irritable. And you say, how'd that happen? Well, there you go. And if you bring love and tolerance, even if they're angry and irritable, you don't have to get disturbed. So this reacting is the key. And you don't react, unless you have a spiritual awakening, you don't know how you're to react. So the process of the 12 steps brings you to the point where you understand how you're supposed to be every day. And this ties right into the next paragraph. I hadn't seen it before, but looking at it last night, I could see how we react in fit spiritual condition carries right into the powerful paragraph we're going to read now. It says, it is easy to let up. Notice the word let up. That implies that you should be continuing to do it. Now, you can't continue and let up. You know, you can't have anger and love at the same time. Either you're continuing or you're letting up. Now, some people like to let up a little bit. You know, it's like a little bit, but continue a little bit. Well, in the end, that doesn't work. So it has to be a full court press all the time, willing to go to any length. You're never at a point where you can let up. But it says it's easy to let up. Any let uppers in the room? Yeah. And how do things go when you let up? Not well. And eventually you may drink, but if not, you're just miserable. If you let up on the spiritual program, then you don't have the fit spiritual condition. Then you can't react the way we talked about in the last paragraph. And rest on our achievements. You can't rest on your achievements because that's in the past. It's what you do today that matters. And if you have enough todays that you're not doing it, it becomes a past, and then you're separated, and then who knows when you'll drink. How long can you let up on the spiritual program of action and not take the first drink? Ask yourself that. And I don't want to take a chance. I'm like Ed. I'm not as passionate as Ed. But somebody asked me when Ed and I had lunch, you talked more. Well, I wasn't sure. I didn't know how to answer that, but I probably did. But Ed got his he pounded the table a few times, so we're good. We have fun at this meeting if you're listening on the podcast. Rest on my achievements. Now, some people think because they're sober 10 years and they're really proud of it and they carry, and they mention it every meeting, I'm sober 10 years. Well, that's great. But do you have emotional sobriety? You know, or is your achievement how long you're physically sober, or is your achievement how you're being love and tolerant to other people? How are you treating the world? How are you in relationship to the world? Well, here's the warning. You're headed for trouble. So they don't mince any words. If you let up on the spiritual program, you're in trouble. Now, trouble in the big book is bad. I don't know, they could have used other words, but headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. Now, I looked up foe. Foe can be a mortal enemy. Anybody think alcohol is a subtle foe? Very subtle. You know how it works? I don't need to come on Saturdays anymore. I don't need to come on Wednesdays. I don't want to listen to him anymore. Then I don't have to go to my other meetings. Then I don't have to talk to my sponsor. Then I don't have to read the big book, and I don't have to pray. Brian and I, we were talking, unfortunately, about a guy that we don't see anymore, and things haven't gone well for him. Subtle foe. Now, it's in a bottle. Alcohol's in a bottle. How can it be a mortal enemy? It's a liquid, for God's sakes. Because our mind seeks it. When we're not in fit spiritual condition, our mind seeks the ease and comfort in that bottle. And it's real. And when we seek it, as if you're alcoholic, you don't have any power against it unless you have God. If you're seeking alcohol and it's looking good, unless you have God in your life, you're going to drink. I think that's what the big book says, right, Ed? Yep. And it doesn't mince words. And here it goes. You're not cured of alcoholism. You're never cured. I had people read Keys to the Kingdom. It talks about the continuous program of recovery. You can never let up, right? It's continuous. It's a circle, 1 to 12. It keeps going around. And if you're doing step 12 and you're practicing the principles in all your affairs and you're working with others, you're automatically doing step 1. And then if you're doing step 1, you're automatically doing step 2. And you see, then you make your decision every day. You see how it works. We're not cured of alcoholism. Remember the warning label on every bottle of alcohol that AA wanted, they asked AA what they should put on every bottle of alcohol. And the AA says, we have no opinion. We don't have no opinion on anything. But we have a suggestion, put a warning label, this will run out. And it's a subtle foe. We're not cured. And here's what you have, a daily reprieve. I think reprieve is a stay of execution, right? The governor gives him a reprieve. Each day we have a reprieve from dying, spiritually and then physically, contingent on the maintenance of our, and I put fit, spiritual condition. A lot of people call 10, 11 the maintenance steps. I don't agree with that because it says on page 84 that we're to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And we have to continue to grow because alcohol is always there. And if we start slipping back, alcohol starts to get power. This is not the kind of step work there. You can just stand still. It's a revolving belt. If you're standing still, you're going to go back. And you're going to go back through the arch to freedom, back into the darkness. You have to continue to walk forward to stay in the light. I hope that makes sense. And you have to be in fit spiritual condition. Now, here's the must. And I think they mean must. What do you think they mean must if they put must? Every day is a day when we must. Every day, they don't say like Sundays. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. Powerful. So how do you know what the vision is of God's will into all your activities? You're going to get that on the next two pages in prayer and meditation. And they told you one of the visions is you have to practice love and tolerance as a code of living, right? And for me, the vision is LPTKCC, love, patience, tolerance, kindness, consideration, compassion. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And as you wish others to do to you, you do to them. I think if you carry that vision into all your activities, you're doing God's will. And then here's the question. How can I best serve you, God? Your will, not mine, be done. So you carry a vision of God's will, and then you ask him, how can I serve you today? Your will, not mine, be done. Now, this is the thought which must go with you constantly. So you must think all day long, how I can serve you, God, your will, not mine, be done. And this is what Gary's here somewhere, we call the vertical. You go to God all the time, first things first. And you go to God all day long for the vision of his will for you and all your activities, you'll do okay. When you stop going up there and you're going here, your vision may be your vision. And it doesn't say, I carry Michael's vision and want God to help me. Does it say that? I don't think so. I have to carry his vision. Now, here's the key thing. Our problem centers in our mind. Does anybody agree with that? And willpower won't work, right? So this is where you get your mind and your will back. In the next line, you can exercise your willpower along this line, all we wish, it is the proper use of the will. So this is when you get your mind back and your will back, is when your mind is constantly focusing on the vision of God's activities in all your affairs, right? And how you can serve God all the time, not yourself. You carry these thoughts constantly, and then you're exercising your will properly. Your will only be properly exercised if it's aligned with God. It's not that complicated. Self-will won't work. Anybody agree with that? It has to be God's will in all of our activities. Now, none of us do that perfectly. Of course not. How do we know when we're not doing God's will at the moment? We're afraid. We're angry. We're disturbed. Somebody bothers us. We're judging something. Our character defects are coming back. And so it's not hard to recognize that. So on page 84, they say you watch for that all the time. And when it comes up, you ask God at once to remove them. It's not that complicated. You carry vision of God's will. When you separate, you ask God at once to take that away, and you get back to God. It's all day long. Your airplane is always off course if you're in AA. Sandy Beach says it's always off course. We're always correcting our course, getting on the beam. You don't wake up one day and you're on the beam all day long. Never happens, because we're always thinking about ourselves, but then we have to stop and think about God. And so it's a continuous daily program of recovery every minute. And you know, we talk about letting up on a day or a week. If you let up for an hour, you can get into trouble. And then, of course, none of us do this perfectly, but we understand now when we are not doing it. And we're going to read that on the end of 88. It says, it summarizes everything that the book has covered on all 11 steps. It says, this is how God disciplines us. He lets us separate. We don't feel good. And we know it now, because we've worked the steps, and we don't have to stay there. If I stay angry, it's my choice. If I stay afraid, it's mine. If I stay disturbed, it's my fault. This is why they get out of this, the spiritual axiom that's in the 12 and 12, that whenever we're disturbed, there's something wrong with us, and we're going to do that next week. It's very worth studying those couple pages. It's powerful stuff. So now I get my will back. Good job. And then it says, and this is really powerful, and we'll end with this paragraph. I wrote a few things down here. Cured means relieved of the symptoms or conditions, eliminated. It doesn't mean remission. It means it's gone, and it's never gone. We always have alcoholism. Our mind is always ready to spring on us and say, I need a drink. It says, much has already been said about, and here's a powerful word, receiving strength, inspiration, direction from him who has all knowledge and power. That's what we want. That's the purpose of the steps. To receive, it's given, it's a gift. The only thing I have to do is get out of the way. Where does the big book say the fundamental idea of God is? Deep down inside every man, woman, and God, but it's blocked by our calamity, our obsession with other things, our pomp, our worship. Anybody ever do that? What are you focusing on today? Then that's what's separating you from God. Unless you're focusing on God's will and how you can best serve Him. And you receive strength, we need that, inspiration, which means the wisdom to know what to do, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. Now, I think it's better to receive strength, inspiration, direction from Him who has all knowledge and power than from me. Now, if you put someone in your life as your higher power, then you'll receive strength, inspiration, direction for that person. But that may not work for you. It has to be God. We can't put anything ahead of God if we want to receive these things from God. It's not complicated. Now, we all do that. We all block God out at times during the day, some of us weeks, some of us years. If we do that, we're alone and we're in danger of drinking. It says, if we have carefully followed directions, what do they mean by that? Carefully followed directions. That means if you've done this deal. Now you're on page 85, you're working step 10, you've done 1 through 9. This doesn't say, if you think about step 3 for 5 months, right? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if you study, if you read the big book and memorize it, that won't do any good. You have to do the directions, follow the directions that they put in the book. Now, there's an implication here. If I follow my directions, nothing changes. Then I receive strength, inspiration, direction from me. And since I'm the problem, and I have all knowledge and power, my knowledge and power got me here, got me a wristband. It made a mess of my life. So I suggest that you carefully follow the directions. So why do we study this book? We study it 3 times a week now for almost 11 years because the directions are in the book. And every time you read it, you see more. I saw more in this paragraph today than I've seen last time I did it. And who wants God's direction? Anybody in the room? Then do the deal. We have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. You get a power. You can sense that you're not alone. And you know why? Because you've asked God to remove your anger in step 4, fear in step 4. You've made a sane sex ideal, relationships ideal. You've admitted to God another person your defects of character. You ask God to remove them. You ask Him to remove them all the time. You've made amends to those you've harmed. You're living in step 10, right? You're watching for selfishness, society, resentment, and fear. You're safe and protected. You have a warning label. You're carrying God's vision in all your activities. And then you become God conscious. And if you're not God conscious, you're Michael conscious. Now it says in the big book that there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find Him now. Anybody remember that? And it also said when you're crushed by a self-imposed crisis, you are faced with the question, God is everything or nothing. Anybody remember that? Well, that question is all day long. And if you're not God conscious, you're going to choose God's nothing. And when you choose God as nothing, you're everything. And then you're in the problem. So God consciousness, awake to God. That's the greatest gift I've gotten from working the steps, is that I know I can go to God all the time. And when I do that, I'm turning away from me. It says we begin to develop this vital sixth sense. It's something you know. Now, I can't talk about you, but I'll just say for me, I know when I have fear, it's ridiculous. I'm running the show. I'm in charge. It's a waste of time. And I say, God, it's a waste of time. Take it away. Anybody get angry or judge anymore? I do. I love to judge. It was one of my hobbies. But I don't. When I do it now, I say, God, I'm just disturbed. I'm judging. It's ridiculous. They are who they are. Change the way I feel. Give me love and tolerance. And it works. Now, why don't we do that all the time? Look, we're alcoholics. But I do it more than I did, and my days are good. And then at night, we're going to read on the next page to follow through, is how, when we retire at night, what do we do? How do we look at the day? How do we do? So I'm going to stop there. I hope people got something out of this. It's there's no way to describe how in 3 paragraphs, or 2 pages, they could put all this information. All right, thank you.